Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week in the Gospel, the Lord Jesus taught us very patiently not to worry. He teaches the very same thing in today's Gospel, but just in a more striking way. Last week, he taught us to look at the birds and how our Heavenly Father feeds them and provides for them. This week, he teaches us to look at the dead man being carried out of the city of Nain in a casket, and how he, the Lord Jesus, took care of the problem. Don't worry, he says. You're going to die, but it'll be all right in the end. You're going to die. Everyone is. For as much as people want to avoid it, deny it, prevent it, no one can, not for long at least. Oh, they frantically take their precautions and treat anyone they view as a threat to their health as a villain who needs to be removed from society. But Moses puts it plainly and truly in the 90th Psalm, "The days of our life are 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength, yet their boast is only toil and sorrow, for it passes swiftly, and we fly away." Now some make it a little past 80, but many don't even make it to 70. Such was the case of the young man in today's Gospel, the young man of Nain. Death came for him sooner than it does for most people, and so we may call it tragic. We may also call it tragic that he was his mother's only son. And we may also call it tragic that she had already had to deal with death. We're told that she was a widow. Her husband had already died, so that she was now left husbandless, childless, and destitute. So much tragedy and loss. Of course, it wasn't supposed to be this way. It was supposed to be a happy world, a world filled with laughter and life, a world devoid of sickness and death, where family members were never separated from one another by death or by anything else. That's the world God intended. That's the world God created. That's the world God blessed. But you know what happened. You know where death came from. You know whom to blame, and it isn't God. It's, first of all, the devil, who wanted to see his creator's creation suffer, who tempted Eve to do the one thing that God had already told them would surely bring death on the human race, but she did it anyway, and so it's her fault too. And it was Adam's fault. And it's the fault of all their children who sin, and that's everyone except for the one. Our culture hates to admit that death is what we all deserve and the wages that's going to be paid out to all of us, and so it will go to any lengths to pass on the blame to someone else. But no one can change the fact. Death comes for us all. You're going to die. And so it was that death came for that young man from the city of Nain. He wasn't the first young man to be taken too soon, and he won't be the last. Death continues its nearly perfect march of victory against the human race. But on this one occasion, for the very first time, at least the first time recorded in the Gospels, death encountered its destroyer in the person of Jesus. Jesus saw the grieving mother and had compassion on her and went to her and comforted her. "Do not weep," he said. Why not weep? Because Jesus is here. And Jesus is about to undo death. He touched the casket and the funeral procession came to a halt. He spoke to the dead man, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. This wasn't the permanent ending of the death march against the human race. That young man would eventually die again. His mother would die. All the people of Nain would die. All the people of the world have died or are dying, whether quickly or slowly. It wasn't the end of death that day, but it was a foretaste of death's ultimate defeat. Death is defeated, of course, in two ways. Jesus describes them both in John chapter 5. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself." We all begin life dead already, spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins, as Paul puts it to the Ephesians. But the time is coming, and now is, when the gospel of Christ is preached in the world. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. And where the Spirit causes people to hear, causes people to believe, that person passes from death to life. To life so real and so strong that death cannot interrupt it. As Jesus says to Martha in John chapter 11, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die." That's our first consolation when we face death. For the believer, death has already been defeated. Here in this life, there is no death, only the temporary sleep of the body in the grave. The soul is safe with God and very much alive, no longer fighting, no longer wrestling with the devil or the world or the flesh, but resting in the true peace of paradise. That is no small comfort. But there is more. Jesus goes on in John chapter 5, "Do not marvel at this. For the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." It's that resurrection of life that we get a taste of in today's gospel, the actual raising of dead bodies when the voice of Jesus speaks over the dead, speaks over the grave. For those who died in unbelief, who rejected Jesus, the life giver in this life, it won't be a resurrection to life, but to condemnation. But for those who died in faith, it will be a much better life. This is what gives believers strength to face a hostile world and a future that may appear often bleak. You're going to die, and you know it. You'll die of COVID. You'll die of cancer. You'll die of stroke or heart disease or old age. You'll die from cold. You'll die from heat. You'll die from an accident. You'll die from foul play. And yet, nothing the world throws at us can interfere with the life Jesus gives us now or with the life that he will give at the resurrection. No disease, no accident, no tyrannical government oppression, no amount of hatred, no amount of danger can change the fact that Jesus has conquered death by his own resurrection from the dead after making payment for the sins of the world by his own death. Nothing can change or overturn Jesus' promise to deliver his baptized believer from every evil of body and soul. As St. Paul writes, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and he includes death in that nothing. For now, it's okay to weep when death wins yet another battle. But don't weep as the world does, without faith and without hope, without knowing that you, united with Christ in holy baptism, have already won the war. The same Lord who appeared and approached the grieving widow mother approaches each grieving child of God in the Word and in his sacrament to comfort and to heal and to assure you that death is about to be entirely undone. Yes, you're going to die, but don't worry. You're also not going to die. You're going to live because God has taken this horrible thing called death and has made it to work together for good to those who love him. If you remember that now and cling to Christ continually, then you truly have nothing to worry about. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.